I want to ask the question, answer the question, no salvation without works, or no salvation with works? Which is it? Looks to me like those things are totally opposite. No salvation without works, and no salvation with works. Now, why is this important? Because this is one of the issues that individuals really struggle about. You watch much television, there are these 30-second ads, sometimes 15-second ads that come on that say you want to get right with God, then you need to say this prayer, and then you'll be right with God. And then there are others who go to another extreme that says, you've got to keep the Word of God perfectly. You've got to know every verse in the Bible. You've got to be able to know everything there is to know about the Bible, or you cannot go to heaven. And so the question is, what does the Bible say? Let me introduce it by looking at a verse that we'll not look at again in the rest of this lesson. We're calling it the text because here the writer of the Hebrews has talked about the fact that there was a Sabbath law that was given in the Old Testament to the Jews. After that, Joshua led them into the promised land. And then after that, David talked about another Sabbath, another rest. For the word Sabbath is the word that means rest. And so here's the argumentation that's made in Hebrews chapter 4, and that is, if Joshua had given them the rest, if the promised land was the rest that awaits us, then they got that land. They already had that promised land, a land that flowed with milk and honey. Now, the same argument can be applied to the Sabbath. Moses gave the Sabbath, gave them the Sabbath rest, but if Moses had given them the rest, God would not 500 years after Moses have spoken of another rest. And yet he did. And so if you look down in verse 9, he says, there remains, therefore, a rest. Then he says in verse 10, for he who has entered into his rest has himself ceased from his works as God did from his. That's an implication, you see, that God rested, but he says the very fact that we're working indicates something. And so he says in the last verse, therefore, let us be diligent. The old King James Bible says, let us labor. That's work, isn't it? Let us labor, let us be diligent to enter into that rest, lest anyone should fall by this same example of disobedience. So we've got to understand, there are just so many verses in the Bible about working, about doing what is right. What must I do to be saved? Individuals ask that question. They knew there was a do to Christianity. Jesus says, you are my friend if you keep my commandments, if you do what I said. You hear the word do in that paraphrase of that verse? If you love me, keep my commandments. Do my commandments. And Jesus says, I must work the works of him that has sent me while it is day. Even the Son of God worked. Now then, there are these two extremes. One extreme says, there is no salvation with works. If you work, and generally what they're talking about is the matter of partaking of the Lord's Supper, the matter of being baptized, the matter of doing anything at all in order to be saved. And the verse that is given on that is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. We'll be going to that verse, and several minutes of this lesson will be spent looking at that verse. The other extreme is, there is no salvation without works. If you don't work, there is no salvation. Those are not the same. No salvation with works and no salvation without works. And if you make those parallel in meaning in every respect, the Bible's going to contradict itself. That's what this lesson is about. To give every one of us an understanding of what the Bible means when it says we're not saved by works, and what the Bible means when it says we are justified, when it says we are saved by works. How do you reconcile that? Let's look first. We've already looked at one text. Let's look at these two other texts. Ephesians chapter 2 is the other text, and then there's another text after that. And that's tonight's lesson. So when we finish looking at the text, we're almost finished. Let's look at that first text. Look carefully at every word in that and understand, as you look at that, if you're looking on the screen, you'll see that for emphasis, I've enlarged the print of some words. Because some individuals read these verses, and that is all they see in this verse. They read these verses, for by grace you receive through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared aforehand that we should walk in them. And some people come to this verse and they say, you know what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10 says? If we're saved through faith and we are not saved through works. There's a context in which statements are made. And the context of Ephesians chapter 2 is the context of a first century world. If you'll stop and think about it, when Jesus came into the world, what was the way of salvation? Well, there were those Jews who said, you don't need Christianity. You don't need the cross. You can be saved, and the work that must be done is circumcision. Above every other thing, if you're going to go to heaven, there's one thing that must be done, and that is circumcision. Are we saved by circumcision? Look at this verse. If circumcision is the works there, then the Bible has contradicted itself. If the Bible teaches you must be circumcision, and circumcision obviously is a work. Read the verse carefully. For you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift from God, not of works. But I want you to see, the period does not come after the word works. If I read Ephesians chapter 2 and I read verse 8 and verse 9 and I stop after the word works, I've stopped too quick in reading what the Bible says. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created to do works. All of a sudden, instead of works in this passage being a negative, it's a positive. The very fact that we've been saved through faith, not of works, is in order that we might do exactly what Jesus did, and that is work the works of him that sent us. That's why we live on this earth. Now, what if I do not work? You and I need to understand that, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But go back and look again at the words that follow after the word works. What does Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 9 say? Not of works, lest any man should boast. Isn't that an indication that the works that we're not saved by is works of which a man could boast? And yet it says, not of works, lest any man should boast. We'll come back to this thought in just a moment, but I want you to notice carefully, there's not a period after the word works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Let's look at the other passage then. We've looked at the other text, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. We've looked at the text, we've looked at the other text, and I don't know how to describe this one except let's look at the other text. James chapter 2, and it's a long text. I want us to read it together. We're going to come back and discuss it. Because it's not just one little phrase, a couple of verses that talk about our relationship to our God, our justification from sin. It's not just a little short sentence that sometimes we even make shorter when we put a period in the wrong place. Starting in verse 14 and going through verse 26, there are 13 verses that talk about this very topic. Look at what he says. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith and does not have works? Question. Can that faith, the King James says, the ESV says, can that faith save him? I want you to feel the force of that. Can that faith that does not work save him? What's the implication? The implication, if it is an implication that faith does not save, that is just a say faith and is not visible. That faith cannot save him. Does that have application in our lives? Televangelist, if you want to be saved, just say these words, and you are saved, and the moment you are saved, you can never, ever be lost, is the follow-up of that doctrine that originated with a man named John Calvin. But a doctrine that originates with the Holy Spirit in the first century says, what is the profit? What use, what good is it that if all you have is a faith that says, I believe in Jesus, can that faith save him? And then he illustrates this, and you'll readily understand this. Someone comes and says, I'm hungry. You know, I need food. I'm naked. I need clothing. And you say to them, and see the word say? The say in this verse is parallel to the saying that I have faith. You say to that individual, you have food. And so you say to them, depart, be ye warmed and filled. Depart in peace, be warmed and filled. but you do not give them the things that are needed for the body, what does it profit? There's a faith that does not profit. And that is a faith that does not bring about action. But continue to read. Thus faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. Faith that says, I believe, and it stops there. Because somebody says, I don't have to do anything God says after I believe Him because I'm not going to be saved by works. Faith, if it does not have works, if it does not manifest itself in action, that faith will not save him. It's a word faith, and words are cheap, are they not? It is a dead faith and not a living faith. Someone will say, James continues in amplifying this, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I by my works will show you my faith. Which one of those is bad? Which one of those does God have in mind when He talks about us being justified by faith? Not a dead faith, but biblical faith. And so He says, you have faith and there's no evidence of it. There's no works. I don't know if you have faith or not. I will not know that you have faith until it's made visible. And so He then says, you believe there's one God. You say, I believe in God. Okay, what does that mean? Does that mean I'm okay? You do well if you say that, but you need to understand the demons of hell believe in one God. That is not saving faith. But continue to read. Look at verse 20. Do you want to know, O foolish man, faith without works is dead. I'm saved by faith without works. I put a period there. That's not what Ephesians 2 says. He says that kind of faith is demonic faith. And so he says, that faith without works is dead. And then he turns his attention to Abraham. Abraham believed God. It was imputed unto him for righteousness. That's right after he leaves Ur of the Chaldees and gets over into the promised land. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6 says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Wait a minute. What's Abraham been doing? Well, he's left Ur. He's left Haran to come down into the promised land. And he's built altar after altar. Guess what? God saw his faith. Faith that is not visible is dead faith. It's a profitless faith. It is a faith that demons have. But look at all that Abraham had done in his life and all he was going to do. For man does not just have faith, he lives by faith. For the just shall live by faith. It was imputed unto him for righteousness. But I want you to read carefully this. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered his son Isaac? Oh, I'm not going to offer my son. I'm not saved by works. Ephesians chapter 2 says, I'm saved, but not by works. Abraham, and you can see it in the life of Abraham. What if Abraham had worked out his own system of righteousness? What if Abraham had said, well, I know I've got to worship God, but I'm going to offer animal sacrifices. What kind of faith does he have? It's not his faith in God. It is his faith in his God, not the true God, but a God that will accept me if I substitute my own lifestyle for God's. Abraham was justified by works and says, you want to see faith? You want to understand what the Bible means when it says in John 3:16 that whoever believes on him, present tense, ongoing, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You want to know what kind of faith that is of John 3:16? He says, do you not see that faith was working together with his works? Faith works. When does faith work? Faith was working together with his works, and by works his faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled. Underline that word fulfilled. He believed God when he left Ur. He believed God when he left Haran. He believed God when he came into the land of Canaan. He believed God when he built all of those altars. But if you want to see the fullness of Abraham's faith, it's when God says, I don't want you just to keep laws to keep laws. I want your attitude toward me to be that you will not withhold anything from me. And that's the faith that saves. That's the fullness of faith. And it's only after he has given the ultimate sacrifice of offering his son, he has not withheld Isaac because he loves Isaac more than God. The faith that he had made him give himself to God. You see then, I hope you do. You want to understand faith and works? Here it is. You see then, a man is justified by works and not by faith only. The only time the words faith only is found in the Bible. And I want you to understand a religion that says, just say this prayer and you'll be saved. Says you're saved by faith. You're saved by faith alone, and there's nothing that needs to follow. At the moment, the very instant you believe, you're saved. Faith minus works does not equal salvation. Faith plus doing what God says is what faith is. You see, looking at the story of Abraham, that Abraham's faith was fulfilled when he did what God told him to do. Man is not justified by faith only. Think about that in relationship to Ephesians 2 when you put a period after not of faith. That's not what Ephesians 2 says. That's how it's interpreted. I'm saved by faith, but not by works, period. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says a man is justified by works, not by faith only. Likewise, Rahab, the harlot who hid the spies that Joshua had sent to spy out the promised land. Her faith is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, she hid the spies. But look at this verse. Just like it was with Abraham, so it is with Rahab. And the implication is, and so is it with all mankind, men who are justified by faith. It's like Abraham was justified. It's like Rahab was justified. And the implication is, and this is the faith by which you will be justified. She was justified by works when she sent the messengers, hid the messengers, received the messengers, and sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. A dead body is not a person. And a faith without works is not faith. So what does that mean? Well, in order to justify this matter, we need to see that salvation is without some works. Because some works do not save. And I suggest to you that that's the very works that that Paul is talking about in Ephesians 2. What kind of works? Go back to Ephesians 2. He is not saved by any works of which he might boast. Think about a dogma widely taught and the most believed by any religious group that calls itself Christian, and that is the Roman Catholics. You want to have your sins forgiven? Then you say so many Hail Marys. You count those rosary beads. And you pray so many Our Fathers, the Lord's Prayer, and you will be saved because of a law that some man has made. Salvation by works. And a man says, I'm saved because I've gone to confession. I've never missed a week of going to confession and having my sins forgiven. I've never missed of doing anything the Father has told me to do. The Father in the confessional has told me to do. I've done it every one. And so I am all right with God because of the way that I have lived. You're boasting about what you've done. What about that individual who says to his parents who've tried to talk to him about obeying the gospel, don't you worry with me, I am all right with God. What makes you like all right with God? Well, I'm a good person. I'm a good husband. I'm a good neighbor. I'm a good father. I'm a good son. And you take that and make it the female aspect of every bit of that. I do right. Wait a minute, how many I's in that verse? you're right with God because of what you have done, you're not saved by those works. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus talked about the works of the Pharisees and all their works they do to be seen of men. Matthew 23, verse 5. You know what Ephesians is talking about? When it's saved, we're not saved by works. It is works of which a man could boast. It is a work that is done to manifest my righteousness and not the righteousness of God. Now, in the first century, there was the matter of the law. Romans chapter 3 says that by the deeds of the law, no man is saved. What's he talking about? Those Jews and those rabbis who thought that they were righteous because of what they had done. Remember the Pharisee, the most religious group in Judaism? He walks into the temple and he says, I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like other men. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes. I give alms. I. And so Paul writes to the Roman Christians and he says, it's not of any work of which man could boast, and it's not of works of the law. And the third thing is, as we've just shown, it is not by works that's not involved in faith. What are works of faith? We'll see that when we look at the other side of this, of the kind of works that do save us. But there are works of man's imaginations. There are works of paths of righteousness devised by some man or some group of men. And I am not saved by any law any man makes. Faith or works without faith does not save. And that's why James chapter 2, verses 14 through the end of the chapter. But I want you to hear verse 19. You can have faith, believe in one God, and your faith is no different from the faith of demons. Why? It's faith that does not bring a transformation and does not bring an individual to do what God says. Salvation is with some works that do save. There are works by which we're not saved. And that's why Ephesians chapter 2, why Romans chapter 3, both say, it's not by works of which a man could boast, works that do not come from God. What are we talking about? We're talking about deeds that are mixed with faith. Deeds of faith. I'm doing this not because of self-righteousness, but because God told me to do it. That's what Abraham did, is it not? And had Abraham refused to do what God told him to do, he would not have been accepted with God. That is faith without works. Look again. What works save? Deeds that come from hearing. How do I know this? Because of Romans 10:17 that says faith comes from hearing, not the words of some man who has devised some prayer that's not even found in the Bible that says, this is all you need to do in order to be saved. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. And that's the kind of works that save us. It is faith it is works that's tied to faith, that is faith based on what God says. That passage in Romans chapter 10 talks about calling on the name of the Lord. But you've got to call on God in God's way and not call on God in some way some man has said, I've got it all figured out for you. Look again. What works do save? Deeds which come from His righteousness and not for our own. Romans chapter 10 looks at Judaism. Here's the prophet of God, an apostle of Jesus, speaking the words of the Spirit. And what does he say? My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. What does that imply? They're lost. I bear them record that they are zealous of God. They have a zeal of God. They're lost. They believe in God and they're zealous of God, zealous for God. But listen to the Holy Spirit. They're lost, and I bear record. I go on record. They have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Self-righteousness. Mom, Dad, don't worry about me. I'm good. I'm good as some of those Christians down there at church. I'm good. That's not righteousness. And righteousness that comes out of an ignorance of God's will and not according to knowledge is not God's righteousness going about to establish their own righteousness. What kind of works are we saved by? What may we do that we may do the works of God? That's the question they asked Jesus. You know what Jesus' answer is? If you want to do the works of God, believe. What kind of faith? Dead faith? Faith itself is a work. And then look again. Romans chapter 16, verse 25 and 26 talks about that the revelation of the New Testament brought about an obedience of faith. Faith that does not work is not faith. And faith that does not obey is not saving faith. So the question is, how am I saved by faith? Oh, I've got to believe in Him. Jesus said, if you don't believe in me, you'll die in your sins. John 8, 24. I've got to trust Jesus. Like Abraham trusted God when he was ready to kill Isaac, he trusted God. That's what faith is. But it is not a faith that says, I believe in God and then I'm going to work out my own way. It is a faith that repents and it says, not my will, but your will be done. in Gethsemane, faced with crucifixion, Jesus prayed that it might not depart, but then he says, but not my will, I will go to the cross. I'll endure every bit of it if that's your will. And that's what repentance is. It's giving God not a part of my life so that I can be righteous in the other part and then I can sort of control the rest. It is humbly coming before God and say, not what I want, but what you want. And so when a man who reaches that point, he says, what do I need to do? You need to confess that you believe Jesus is the Son of God. Did you hear it this morning? You believe Jesus is the Son of God? I do. That's not self-righteousness. That is the righteousness that Jesus wants. That is His righteousness. And then you must be baptized. You must be immersed. Because baptism is a burial. And that's what you must do. Not say, I'm righteous. I'm good enough where I am. It says, Lord, I believe in you. Show me the path that I need to walk and I will do it. And the courage of our new sister who came forward this morning saying, I was baptized once, but it wasn't the baptism of the Bible. And the commitment of her heart to say, now that I know what His righteousness is, I'm going to be saved by faith. Not a dead faith, not a say faith, but a faith that hears God and does what God says. And except you have that faith, you'll die in your sins. And so when I do it, He makes me a part of His kingdom. And then He says to every one of us, it's not something you do before you're baptized. It is what you do the rest of your life. Speak, Lord, thy servant hears. Abraham was full of faith, faithful. And we, when you get to the end of our life, to whatever capability we are at that point in our life, we need to be full of faith until that day, and heaven is ours. Do you believe in God? Do you have the faith of His righteousness and not the faith of righteousness taught by some man, but the faith of righteousness taught by God? How can we help you go to heaven? Won't you let us know by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?